Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I'll tell you about my time with Jay Leno and some observations from yesterday. And then also we'll get into the Irate 8 with the March Madness Madness.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show, Big J. Okerson and Ralph Sutton. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we head into the Irate 8 of March Madness, Madness. And now, feeling peevish, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing the show. So the ratings went up last week, so thank you for that. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian?
Have a great Friday, you motherfucker.
Love her.
All right. Well, I was at Leno's shop last night doing this corporate thing. Jay was being Jay, as Jay is usually, showing me some new cars he got. Thing lasts about an hour. It was easy. We just sat in his 120,000-square-foot facility. People have to kind of think about that. I don't know. Average house out here is 2,200 square feet, something like that. I don't know. Gina, how many square feet is your...
What do we even call it? It's a little barn house. It's like 1900.
1900.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Well, Jay's got quite a bit more square footage than that.
Oh, but his lot size. My lot size is tipping at 2400. So yep. Eat that, Leno.
Yeah, I know. And you definitely crush him on the cup size as well. So you got those two things over, Leno.
And I have a John's closer to me than he does.
But he's got Chick-fil-A. We're finishing the gig and we're walking. It's an endless walk from the back of his warehouse to daylight. I mean, it's a weird thing. There's literally a golf cart in there to get around. But we went to the other shop where all the business takes place. Bernard's working on all his stuff and they're doing all their fabricating and putting all their stuff around. And I've always thought about Jay. I was like, what does Jay like? Because if you walk through his garage, there is no theme. And there's a theme. Almost everyone has a theme when it comes to the garage. There's the Mopar guys. There's the Italian car guys. There's not even Italian car guys. There's like the Ferrari guys. Then there's the Lambo guys. And there's the Alfa Romeo guys. There's the Fiat guys. There's just a guy. It's just a thing.
Sorry. Kaylin, can you grab that and mash that up with the Bubba Gump? There's Fiat guys. There's Mopar guys.
Got your Pizzarini guys. So you got your Bugatti guys. So they have themes. Everyone has a theme. Jay doesn't have a theme. Jay has everything. He has like super racy, like a modern stuff. He has steam powered stuff. Nobody has like old steam powered stuff. And then weird modern-day race cars, and then just sort of everything in between. He's got a fair amount of – he's got like three Lambos. He has a good amount of kind of Cobras, you know, Shelby Cobras and Mustangs, modern, old, everything. Fire trucks and whatever, yes.
For some guys, is an everything theme? You know what I mean? Like I'll just – if it's interesting, I'll collect it. Is there anything Jay would like not turn his nose up at, but just has no interest in? Like, nah, not really of this kind of
– Well, he's told me while standing in my collection of race cars, nah, I don't do race cars. I don't like race cars. No, thanks,
wow.
Jay. More race cars for me.
You're filling the gap.
Nah, I don't do anything I can't drive on the street. So he wants to drive it. He wants to be seen.
Fair
he
enough.
Wants to take it out. He's also, he's pretty insane in that he was telling me the story about driving a Stanley steamer up the 405. And anyone who knows the 405 and the incline, and it's a long slog. It's like a long uphill climb going over into the city. And the Stanley Steamer is a wooden car from 1906 that
carpet cleaner
burns. It literally has a fire in it, you know.
Wow.
And it's
wait,
it's,
and he drove this through the extra crispy tinder box that is the Sepulveda Pass.
Yes, it's a steam powered car, and it has a fire, and wow, it boils the water, and that's what powers the car. I've driven in it before. It's scary. There's no safety. You sit up high. It's you will never feel. If someone said to me, you can, like, where would you feel more exposed or in danger driving a Stanley Steamer up the 405, you know, during daylight hours, during business hours, essentially, or would you like to ride a moped naked up the same incline? I'd have to think about it, because the moped naked would be less dangerous and you'd probably draw less focus. But he said the thing caught on fire. Jesus. And the instructions are, when you operate a Stanley Steamer, that if there is a fire, you must turn off the fuel supply, but don't stop. If you stop, it'll just burn up. You have to go faster, actually, and try to blow the fire out.
Right.
And
okay.
Said he had the speed record for the oldest car on the 405. Like, it was literally 80 miles an hour in a car that was, you know, built in 1903 or something.
It could get up to 80?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
You were going to say 30.
Maybe downhill.
His stuff, that I've ridden in that stuff before. It moves pretty fast.
Wow.
When Jay does it. Jay goes, hey, I'm going to go for Ryan. Next thing you know, you're going through the Burbank Airport. And everyone's just honking their horn and waving. It's like he said, his entire life is one big parade lap. You know, just kind of like seeing everybody. And but anyway, we were done with our gig. And we were walking out to say hi to Bernard, and he always shows me a couple, you know, does a lot of that. Have you seen this one before? I can't remember when we got this one. Have you seen it? He shows me new cars, and they're always crazy cars. And then we come up on a car that, and look, I know every car, and most of the cars he shows me I've never heard of before. We come up on a 1960 Panhard PL17. Had Chris research it. Air cooled, front mounted, twin engine. So two cylinders, front mounted, air cooled. So like a VW engine, a motorcycle type engine in the front, made twice the power of the VW Beetle. It only had 850 cc. So it's like a motorcycle size engine. And at a top speed of almost 100 miles an hour, 40 miles per gallon. And this is, you know, we're always
ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see some of these hybrid cars. It's like, it's a plug-in. It's a hybrid. It's a four-door. It's whatever. It's like, it's 26 miles to the gallon. You know, this got 40 back in the day. Anyway, we stop. He goes, yeah, you know whose car this is? And I go, no, I don't know. Martin from Quinn Martin Productions. Quinn Martin Productions. I used to hear that growing up. Every TV show was a Quinn Martin production when I was growing up. And I guess he brought the car into California like in 1960. And then we started getting into the car, and Bernard's always there to, you know, with an assist. And it's got the outboard drum brakes on the hub, you know, all the stuff I know and he knows I know. So we kind of mows through it, and I really realized, and then it kind of struck me, which is, and I just got done doing stand-up with Jay for an hour, essentially. Jay is a storyteller. He likes telling stories, and every single one of his cars comes with a story. That's what he wants to tell. So he doesn't want American muscle, or he doesn't want European finesse, or whatever it is. He wants the story.
Sure.
So he's constantly just going, this is the story of this car. And it's like, you never go, he doesn't have a car where you go, oh yeah, my dad had a Panhard back in the day. I know it well. It's always like, what is this? And this is a Panhard. You never heard of a Panhard? No, never heard of it. It was built in France, 1960. You know, and then he gets to tell you the story. So
that makes sense.
And so then when I started thinking no rhyme or reason to his collection, you know, he doesn't really pick a major. He doesn't have a team. You know, most people aren't like, I just like baseball. They go, well, who's your team? They have a team. You know, that's who is. But I realize, his collection is the story. Every car has a story. It's a story how it got to him. There's another Talbot Lago or something. Where it's like, this car hasn't run since 1960. Guy bought it. Brought it in, Brazilian car, whatever the fuck it is, and has sat in his car. He relishes the story. Yes, Brian.
So that point that reminds me or makes you think of why we like or why I like when Dan Dunn comes in and does his liquor segments, because of course the drinks are great and we all like getting a little buzzed and enjoying some booze, but there's always a story like, oh, this is a collaboration between so and so, or this is, you know, this guy used to do this and now he does. There's always a bit of a, you know, oh, that makes this interesting. Now I'm enjoying the booze and there's something to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't, none of the booze is like, guy named Mark made this yesterday.
Exactly.
Not sure where he lives. Yeah, that's no fun. You want the story, and the cars are the story. And so every car is different, but they all have a story. Then I had to go look up Quinn Martin, because what was Quinn? There must have been, was that one guy, Quinn Martin?
Yeah,
just one dude.
He had one television series running in prime time for every year for 21 straight years.
It's a pretty good run.
That's a
show
fucking great
on primetime network for 21 straight years. Yeah, The Untouchables, The Fugitive, FBI, Cannon, Streets of San Francisco. That's what I yelled at Jay. He's like, yeah, heard of Quinn Martin? Streets of San Francisco, a Quinn Martin production. He's never sufficiently impressed, by the way. So, yeah, that's that guy. So, Barnaby Jones. I think Jay used to have a joke. There was a... Did he do Cannon? Yeah, he did Cannon and Barnaby Jones. I think Jay had an old joke, but Barnaby, the hook for Cannon was he was a fat guy. Okay. He was a big fat.
Didn't take much back then.
No, it's just like he was a fat PI.
Wow.
That was the thing. And the hook for Barnaby Jones was he was an old PI. So Barnaby Jones was Buddy Epson, and he was... he was the dad from the Beverly Hillbillies, but by the 70s, he was like old guy. So Barnaby
he was old when the show was on.
Yeah, Barnaby Jones was old guy, and Cannon was fat guy. And I think there was an old Leno joke where he said,
"Oh yeah, go ahead." Sorry.
He'd say when you watch Barnaby Jones, the first guy to get his ass kicked was the guy who called Barnaby Pops. He would always open a can of whoop ass on some young punk that referred to him as Pops.
I hate to go back to my tired bits, but should we have reverence for these old TV shows?
No.
The hook is he's fat. It's a hit.
But that's not it. He's fat. He's old. He's disabled. We have Ironside.
Yeah. The entire
again.
We should not have reverence. The entire show was the opening. They had to have a good song. They had to have a well-cut-together piece of cars, like, sliding around, you know, screeching and hubcaps coming. If they had a good opening, that's all it took. Then after that, it was just cookie-cutter script stuff, nothing to it. I don't know. You got Barnaby, the opening to Barnaby Jones and Cannon. I think Cannon had a... They would get with Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones would put together a killer... orchestrated song, and then it's like you're in. There's nothing else on TV. Like, oh, this is cool. I love this show. But anyway, so the thing that struck me with Leno is the story. All right, we'll see if we can find those. We also have, Quinn Martin. Let's see. What did Quinn Martin have?
Also, Cannon, or the first episode of Barnaby Jones was a crossover with Cannon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it says it's a spinoff.
When you dominate that kind of, those kind of air times, I mean, 21 years straight of, and so all I did was sit around and watch Quinn Martin Productions, because it's not like we had cable or satellite or the internet or anything. I just had this sort of bizarre thought. We should probably appreciate the internet more because we remember not having the internet. I get why my kids probably don't appreciate it, but totally. Now everyone born obviously has the internet, but weird to be in a time with zero internet, just no info, nothing to do. Yeah. This is what you're watching.
I was literally thinking about that yesterday when I was like looking at flights for something to way down the road. And I'm like, how fucking hard was it to book a flight before the internet?
You
like,
had
it's just, it's all there in front of you. Prices, times, on time, you know, percentage, it's all right there. You just should take a shot. They call the airline, call a travel agent.
Travel agents going the way of the dodo. The big one in our house was always, look it up in Childcraft, because we had the Childcraft encyclopedia, you know, from A to B, whatever, or A to Z. And I'd ask my mom, well, how many? I don't know. Look it up in Childcraft. And so that's still our joke because that's how we grew up.
Or taking a guess at how much was in your banking account, like as opposed to just going on your app and looking. Like, I think I have $100. I'm not sure, though.
We have Cannon Barnaby Jones. Oh, this is interesting. This Panhard car company was acquired by Citroen. And it's funny. I was looking at it, and I thought, that looks like a Citroen steering wheel, was the thought I had. And I don't know. Maybe there's a connection there. All right. We have the Cannon and Barnaby Jones.
Yeah. Which one do you want first?
Let's go surprise me.
I got Cannon here.
Cannon. Fat guy. Oh, yeah. Jamming. Martin production.
Starring William Conrad, with guest stars Scott Marlowe, John Larch,
bad cop,
Ramon Beeri,
good cop,
Stuart Moss,
they're
special
all
guest
dead.
Star Christine Belford,
hot cop.
Tonight's episode: To Ride a Tiger.
Big horn sting at the end. Yeah. It's funny also that in this really short period of time, we went from big musical productions, like I said, the Quincy Jones stuff, songs jammed. And then we went to Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch. We totally went away from it into the tell the entire story, forget the jam. But, this stuff was all big and produced. Oh, we have Barnaby Jones. Oh, I love this one.
The best. Exact same thing. It's squares instead of circles.
Jam. Picture the orchestra. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. Barnaby Jones. Starring Buddy Ebsen. Also starring Lee Merriweather, with guest stars Janice Rule, Darlene Carr, Victoria Shaw, special guest star William Shatner.
Whoa!
Now we're talking.
Tonight's episode: To Catch a Dead Man.
Like, I mean, there was Quincy was probably there, the full orchestra down on the soundstage at A&M.
I fully expect for you to never speak to me again after I say this, but weren't those basically the same?
Yeah, those were cookie cutter.
It was. I mean, the women looked the same. I couldn't tell one, the guest star from Cannon, the guest star from Barnaby Jones.
One had
everything.
Squares. One had squares and one had circles. Yep.
The music was the same. The graphics, the announcer, everything.
Well, it's a great.
To catch a tiger, to catch a dead man.
Great Quinn Martin once told me, if it ain't broke.
Barnaby Jones theme. They're actually two different composers. And the Barnaby Jones theme, the newest one, that was Jerry Goldsmith.
Rip-off artist.
Yeah, Star Trek. He did the Rudy score, Rambo, Logan's Run, Planet of the Apes.
Guy's got range,
he's
man.
Legend. Huge range. Legend.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Wow. Yeah. Oof. Yeah, those were big, big songs. All right. Let's see. We got some prank stories since we are taping this on April 1st. Trent, 34, Portland.
Oh, hey, everyone. How's it going?
Hey, guy.
Hey, Yeah, so this one, it's kind of a prank. I think you might be more interested in what happened after, though. So this took place in high school. I'm actually from the Los Angeles area, and so it was a private high school in the Valley. And my friend was on the soccer team as a junior, and they were taking a bus to go play Alamany or some school. And there was a freshman on the bus, and I guess the freshman threw threw like a plastic Coke bottle at my friend's head. You know, my friend was like, all right, well, what am I going to do? This is this little, you know, tiny kid. I'm pretty big. I'm a junior. Then the kid threw a Sobe bottle, like one of those glass ones, at my friend in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So then my friend, and I have no idea why his brain went there. I wasn't on the bus for this, but I was part of some of the later things. He decided to respond by going up to the kid, pulling down his pants, and then shoving his ass in the kid's face.
Totally acceptable.
Why that was his go-to move, I don't know. We asked him later, and he was like, well, I couldn't really beat the kid up. I was bigger, and, you know, so that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
But where it gets interesting is by this point, I'd already been expelled from that high school. A lot of my friends did for disciplinary problems, but my friend was still there, and he got called in the next day and was told that he was now going to be expelled from the school because of their harassment policy. So bad enough that he gets expelled. He then gets contacted. His family gets contacted by this kid's parents' attorneys.
Wow.
So they're now going to sue him for, I don't know, I mean, I guess it was some form of sexual harassment. I just don't know technically the legal thing. Sue his family for that. They then tried suing the private high school that we went to. I believe it was for over $1 million, or ooh, I don't know the exact amount.
But their kid, their son threw the bottles, right?
Yeah, he threw the bottle. But I guess that, and that's what my friend said to the administrators. He said, hey, the kid threw a bottle at me. And it's kind of weird to use it as a defense, you know, because he's like, they're like, well, then why did you put your butt in the guy's? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The kid was ass King Forrest.
Yes. Look, there's never a great reason to rationalize putting your bare ass in a guy's face, but there is some context. You know, he threw a Sobe bottle at him.
And that was the polite thing to do, because when they said, why did you do that? Because if you beat the kid up, he would be dead. So by far the better choice.
Also, it's always funny when this stuff gets into court or they start getting deposed or whatever it is, because at some point the attorney for the kid who dropped his shorts and put his ass in the other kid's face would tell him, you'd have to say you were frightened and you feared for your life.
Yeah.
But if I've ever, like, there's ever been a dog that looks scary, I've never, like, dropped my gym shorts and walked up to the dog. You know what I mean? Or a crazy homeless guy. Like, I rarely put my ass in the face of things that I'm scared of,
yeah,
you know?
If but, ever.
Yeah, that's a little frontier justice. That's where everyone's too goddamn lawyered up. I actually stumbled on, you know, I keep my list of things I want to do. You know, I want a cape removed from me on stage. I'd like to dive into a body of water with a knife in my mouth. I want my hands registered as weapons in Nevada. You know, things, my list.
You want to get kicked out of a casino for counting cards?
Right.
Yeah, for winning.
Doing a little
winning,
too much winning. Yeah. I got a bunch of that. I think there's one I'm adding to the list today.
Oh.
That I've never... I don't think formally is on the list, and I got a lot on that list. Right. I haven't reviewed it in a while, but I want to be sexual with a blind woman, but at some point, she needs to touch my face with both her hands and announce I'm beautiful.
That's, you know, oddly specific.
Don't, wouldn't that look good on your resume?
Yeah,
I said to fucking Matt, let's do it. And he was like, ugh. He's like all stuck up.
No, that's on your sizzle reel.
He was all uptight. And I was like, we'll do it off the air. And he was like, I don't feel like it's part of my job. Not part of your job? Not part of your job? Jesus Christ.
I'm
running
a
fucking puppy
like,
mill over here.
That sounds like someone who's not a team player.
Exactly. And I noticed it because I was reviewing The Love Boat. with Leslie Uggams at the railing.
Oh, right.
Hugging the white rancher. And she did that move. And I thought, could anything? First off, as a blind person, let's keep it real. Not that many people are good looking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys with triple chins and hook noses and male pattern baldness. And let's face
it. Cannon types.
Yeah, look, I don't want to be pejorative here, but you're a cripple. You know what I mean? You're going to attract an unattractive dude. You're not going to get the fucking bell of the ball. He doesn't want to date, you know, someone who's damaged goods, you know, with the blindness and all. So there's a very high likelihood that when you're feeling the guy's face, if you're honest, you're going to have to announce he's a pig.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like a pig.
I just remember I have to get home and feed my cat.
Hey, come on. How about a new mat, huh?
I mean, could you imagine if a blind person felt your face and didn't really like what they're feeling? Like,
their face dropped. Like,
just, there's a 30 Rock. There's a 30 Rock where there's a very attractive redheaded blind woman, and she starts dating Kenneth, and he's so sweet and wonderful, and then she feels his face, and she's like, I gotta go.
Oh, really?
Even in Mask, when she felt Rocky Dennis's face, there was love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that good Christy point. Swanson?
There's,
it was somebody.
Was it?
There's always love.
Wait, somebody went on to be famous.
I'll show you Leslie Uggams feeling the guy's face. And just picture yourself being in his position. You're on a cruise ship. The stars are out. You got beautiful Leslie Uggams. She's blind. She has no idea what you look like, but she's going to find out with her hands. Although, I don't know, do they train for that? Like, I don't feel like I'd run my hand on someone's face, and I'd rather tell if they had bad skin.
You know I was going to say, we could do a blindfolded thing where we bring in models and whatever, and there's no way we could tell who was better looking than the other.
Right. All right. Sorry, she's going to do it. Go ahead.
That moon is so big, if you stood on tiptoe, I think you could touch it. And if you really want it, I'll get it for you, Kelly.
He loves her, even though they're just going to Ensenada. She's feeling his face. Look, both hands. Two hands. That's what I told Matt. Two hands.
Double thumbs.
Double thumbs on the nose. Fingers around the ears. Going checking the jaw on the soup cooler.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean it.
How fucking good would that feel?
You're gentle and you're good, Alan.
Oh. She's fortune teller.
Your voice makes me feel warm and protected.
Who does her makeup?
Let's hug it out.
I think we better go.
They're going to hug it out.
This is our last night. Tomorrow it's back to reality.
He wants some sex on that boat.
Let's not talk about it. It'll be here soon enough. I want to take you home with me, Kelly.
To the ranch.
Maybe I can come.
He's known her for 31
someday.
Hours.
Not someday, and not for a visit. I'm asking you to marry me, Kelly. Don't say
just
no
touch
yet.
His face.
Not till I finish. You're what I've wanted all my life.
Now, Gina, tell me if it doesn't feel like there's going to be a kiss here.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the music's going to swell.
And I'm blind.
Whoa.
Really, look at me.
Yeah.
Did she just say I'm black and I'm blind?
Yeah.
And what I see is a beautiful woman. A woman that I love.
It's not that simple. What about other people?
Listen to this
joke. What do you think folks in that town of yours is going to say when you tell them you married a black woman?
We just won't tell them. We'll say you're the new housekeeper.
Oh!
Oh!
Big laugh.
Maybe.
What do you say to the preacher when he finds out you're sleeping with the new housekeeper?
I'll just tell him it's the only way I can get you to do windows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Take that, black people and women.
I think
and
you just
keepers.
Made me an offer I can't refuse.
Listen to the music swelling.
Oh, God, no!
Oh, the hug. The hug.
You know what? I'm going to chalk that up to something else. I'm going to chalk that up to she's blind and she missed his lips. So they just went for the hug. Because God's sake. There's no reason that they should hug in that moment.
Other than, you know, it's a family show.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll tell them that's the only way to get you to do windows.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, man.
Pretty good line.
But how good would it feel just to have someone feel you? You're beautiful.
Amazing.
But Adam, now, she's blind. She's blind. Like you, blind people use their hands to lead everywhere. She's touched a bunch. There's seagull shit on that railing that she's that she's blind. Chris, she's getting stuff all over your face.
All right. Well, look, she could. Yeah, you're right. You don't want those filthy paws all over your face, yeah. Right? She's been touching everything.
You don't want.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
But how good would it feel to be told you're beautiful just by someone who felt your face?
That'd be incredible.
That'd be awesome.
Now, can we please mash up Leslie Huggum saying, I'm black and I'm blind, to James Brown's I'm black and I'm proud?
Yeah, she's black and loud. She's blind. Yeah.
The blind girl in Mask was not Christy Swanson, it was Laura Dern.
Oh, Laura Dern.
Laura Dern.
And right. He's known, again, he has, he's known her all of several hours at this point when he's saying, come back to my ranch.
They boarded on a Thursday. This is a Sunday evening.
Also, the thing that's interesting is they get a tall, thin fella with sort of Jewish features to wear a three-piece suit. There's nothing about him that says rancher, and Love Boat is one big trope. Everyone's a cartoon character.
Right.
If you are a comedian, you're carrying around a whoopee cushion in the Love Boat. Weird that they cast this guy to keep going, my ranch, I'm a rancher. Like, where's your fucking belt buckle? Where are your boots?
Where's your 10-gallon hat?
You're wearing a three-piece suit. You look like an attorney. Why no tropes with him? We have Chris. Chris reached out to a Love Boat writer.
Yeah. So I just reached out because Adam was talking about how he wanted somebody from the Love Boat writer's room just to get some stories. So I offered him to an appearance on the Adam Carolla Show, and he wrote, thanks for the invite, Chris, but I've made it safely into retirement without having to answer for things I may or may not have done in the 70s. And Adam's rep is such that I don't think his show would be a good place for me to start. Like, Alyssa Milano follows me. You know what I'm saying?
Blacklisted. Yeah.
That's good.
All right. We got one more question, one more prank up here. Marco, 47, Albany, New York. Albany.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy.
Oh, by the way, Lionel Richie's Hello video has a lot of what you're talking about with the blind gal.
Yeah, you're good right.
Yeah, blind student, yeah.
You're beautiful.
Boston's head at the end in clay.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That. Yeah. We forgot about that one. That is a classic. Sorry, Marco. What's your prank? Your boss's story.
All right. So my greatest prank. I have a client in Austin, Texas, send an email to my bosses in Boston, Massachusetts, that I had made a scene and had to be removed from the client office. The bosses had ordered me to go to that office that morning and not leave until I had a signed contract.
Mm.
Well done.
Yeah.
Luckily, I got the signed contract, and then I turned the tables.
Well, wait. Why did you turn the tables?
In retrospect, I was just being a dick. You know, at the time, it seemed like I was doing this righteous thing.
Yeah, it's
you know, how dare they send me from my office to the client office to get this contract that I had been promising them for weeks was going to be signed by the end of the month. It was the last day of February 2001.
The thing about most of horrible pranks I've played over the years, there was really nothing behind them. Mm-hmm. You just totally.
That's why it's a prank.
Yeah,
otherwise it's sweet revenge.
Yeah, and I think pranks must be down 189%, right?
100%.
Like, my kids don't prank. First off, everything's mean, everything's an attack, and they have the aforementioned cable TV.
The pranks have taken on a different life of their own with the internet and YouTube, right?
Like, yeah, I guess so.
Different.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because a story I didn't include today, but I was looking at it, these two brothers, these famous YouTube brothers, have been charged because they were doing fake bank robberies. And like, so basically they would dress, you know, like ski masks and everything, and run out of a building and like try and carjack somebody and like, oh, you got, you know, YouTube or whatever. So,
yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, they're getting charged for that.
Hey, Marco, are you pretty high?
I am. Yes. It's after 5 here.
Yeah, no, I get it. You still with the same company?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But actually, let me put a button on this story. So I go out there, you know, expecting it to go really badly. My contact at the company was a girl. I kind of blow it off, but it was, you know, hard to say exactly. But they had the contract. I turned the tables. Then, after I had the signed contract, had them send the email. I turned off my phone and took a long lunch. Returned to the office to a lot of, like, very concerned emails and voicemails.
That was a good button. Thanks, Marco. Marco has a very interesting cadence.
I like Marco.
Marco, right when you think the punchline is coming.
Call back anytime.
Or maybe it's me. I was hanging around with Jay Leno all day yesterday. Maybe I'm used to a higher grade of, you know, storytelling.
A different energy.
All right. Wait, Gina, do you have an article about?
I do. I found this kind of, actually, it was kind of funny. So just kind of interesting, major news stories that broke on April Fool's Day, but people thought they were jokes, but they weren't. And I was just going to go down the list of some of the big ones.
Okay.
And again, like, you know, a regular headline, but odd when it comes on April Fool's Day. Like, let's see, we have Marvin Gaye. The Prince of Motown was at the peak of his career in the 80s, you know, famous for hits like Heard It Through the Grapevine, How Sweet It Is. It all came to an end on April 1st, 1984, when he was shot and killed by his father on one day
before his 45th
birthday. Yeah.
Having a famous last words. What's going on? Sorry.
Google launched Gmail 2004 of April 1st. Sonic teams up with Mario for nerds and people in my house. They got real excited about that. King George II of Greece dies. There was a big tsunami in the Aleutian Islands. AMC launches the Gremlin car, which I imagine you're familiar with.
Well, the tsunami in the Aleutian Islands, I wouldn't go, get the fuck out of here. You know, it's a fucking prank. Come on. Island tsunami. Come on.
Yeah, but let's see. Are there
but the Gremlin, do you say the Gremlin?
The Gremlin car.
Yeah, that is, that's unfortunate because that is a novelty. Well, first off, I never really thought about it, but it was sort of like, I always thought about with like the Daihatsu charade. Like, don't call it a charade. You know, it's not a good name for a car, but Gremlins is kind of a term for like, this car's got some bugs, some gremlins in it. Like, we got to get it out. We got to fix what the gremlins are. Like, gremlin means if you talk to a mechanic and go, this thing's got a, you know, this Matador's got a bunch of, or this this Mustang's got a bunch of gremlins in it. Like, all right, well, let's get the tester out and troubleshoot. It just means problems that you got to try to find. You got to fix. It's weird to name your car the Gremlin.
Right. And wasn't that the joke with the Chevy Nova?
Yeah.
Because the Nova doesn't go, not going in Spanish.
Right. All right. Interesting. You got any others or are we?
No, I think clear? That's all they did. Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with March Madness Madness and also a update on that Charlie Daniels album. I think somebody brought up to my. We were talking about the Easy. What is it?
Easy Rider 88.
Easy Rider.
The best gay bashing song I've ever heard for my.
Yeah, I mean, CB Savage is awesome, but it's kind of.
How much bashing is there in it?
It's more kinky.
It's Dr. Demento. I don't know. Let's hear a little CB Savage. We'll do that after the break.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Candy.
Ew. That was a totally innocuous word until Mike Dawson said it. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we played CB Savage before, but it's pretty gay bashy. It's a little more novelty. It's not as well produced as Charlie Daniels. And then the Charlie Daniels update was that Big John was on there. One of my favorite all-time songs he covered. You guys know Big John?
Yeah. But that's a Charlie Daniels song? Or are you saying
he covered it?
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because the song is like from the 50s.
Well, here's a little CB Savage first.
Okay.
We was hunting bear for the rocking chair out on I-40. dodging bucks in pickup trucks in West New Mexico. It was a cloudy day and me and old Jay was just about bored to tears. But we come awake when a CB break come a-ringing loud and clear. And we heard this voice that we ain't never heard before, saying,
Break 19, I'm CB Savage. Hi, all you 18-wheelers. Anyone seen any smoky bears? How about some bear smokies? CB Savage here. Come on.
So we got the gay voice. Which
well, I looked really at Jay and I said, Hey, did you hear what I just heard? He nodded his head and his face got red and he never said a word. We both reached for the mic, thinking we might just answer that 19 call. When that CB device come back to life, just a lisping wall to wall.
Oh my God.
Lisping.
And that unusual voice came on again, saying, unusual.
Break 19 again. This is your one and only CB Savage.
Dawson loves this.
Mercy sakes, good bodies.
Good
Could
bodies.
I please have your 20? I'd settle for a big 10-4. Mercy, mercy. How about a milepost? Listen, you can't keep your hammers down forever, you know. Speak to me, pedal pumpers. How about it?
See, the key to all these songs is how horrified the straight guys are.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Disgusted.
Like, oh,
well, crime.
Easy Rider, he threw up on the floor when he found out he was dancing with the lady.
That's true.
A while went by, and Jay and I, we started breathing again. We figured this stranger was plumb out of range when all at once he'd come back in. And it was that same odd voice saying,
Breakers, breakers, any takers? Hi, hi, it's me again. I'm in your chair and I love it there. Say, you truckers really know how to take a person for a ride. Speak to me, you diesel demons. I'd love to get to know your handles. CB7 here. Come on, come on.
The laugh is the genius.
I grabbed the mic and I held it tight and my hand began to sweat. I looked at Jay and he was grinning away like a big old bird-fed cat. So I put down the talker and turned up the squawker and got a good grip on the wheel. I decided the trucker that answered this duck sure as heck wasn't going to be me.
But it takes a twist.
A weird voice came back on again saying,
Yoo-hoo, breakaroo. Hi, hi, you Jim Dandy Jimmy Jammers, you. Do I ever have a surprise for you?
Oh.
If you listen real close, you'll find my voice is changing. And if you'll start checking your rear views, you'll find you got company. 5 plain white smokies dressing up for a ticket writing party. Y'all were so busy copying my put on, you didn't notice your little convoy was being infiltrated.
Got him a convoy.
You can start shutting them down anytime now. This is your CB Savage, the smokey's friend. Wall to wall and treetop tall.
That is all. Bye, y'all. Yeah.
I feel like there'd be some disciplinary action if that's how you went about giving tickets.
No, you can meet your quota.
All right, we have Charlie doing a big job.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245. Kind of broad in the shoulder, narrow at the hip. And everyone he knows he didn't give no lip to the Big John.
It's a darker version.
Nobody knew where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all
alone.
Hey,
Chris.
Didn't say
that CB Savage song. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun.
We
were all
it.
Fucking Dawson's. Never seen a smile
Somebody
on that man's face.
Yeah,
that
he's having a good time over here.
You think you could clear that one? It's not, you know, no trouble covering CB Savage.
Yeah, it didn't sound. Better to the promised land,
Big John.
Big John.
Big John.
Big Bad John.
Ooh, probably got one of the Oak Ridge boys in there to lay that shit down.
It is the Oak Ridge boys.
It is?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't even know country music. What, he did this with the Oak Ridge boys?
Yeah.
Oh, this song?
This arrangement is exactly, yeah, featuring the Oak Ridge boys.
Wow.
Featuring?
Bull. Sneak Papa Mau Mau.
Yeah. Well, there's not that many guys with deep voices that way, but that was still pretty good pull for the Ace Man. Big John. And I have to wait till the guy does it again.
Big John.
Big Bad John.
There it is.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. We got, oh, you moved my bell, Maxipata. It's all right. I'll move it. I can get it. Dawson can fire it up.
It's time for more Bitch Fest Brackets in the big rants of March Madness Madness. Yesterday, we wrapped up the Bittersweet 16 in the California Conference. Mayor Garcetti didn't get a rose from Forest Lawn Flower Guys, and like a bachelorette, went home crying. In the Pop Culture Conference, Gillette's toxic masculinity ad proved the patriarchy is alive and well by sending Alyssa Milano out of the tournament. And in the Big Government Conference, minimum wage was raised to the next round of the tournament after using an ice cream scooper to dole out a helping of whoop-ass to school lunch programs and food stamps. It's time to start the Irate Eight. In the Classics Conference Finals, waiters and tipping goes up against unrinsed coffee mugs.
Well, you heard me scream about waiters and tipping and why these guys need to walk out of there with $485 worth of cash that they don't report to the IRS every night with their fucking GEDs. Cry me a goddamn river. But I'm going to focus on another aspect of being a waiter. The tip. The tip is included. What the fuck is it? The tip is included? That, by the way, is a tax. That's a levy. That's just more money. Tip included is makes it a non-tip. How many times you ordered room service? I like the idea of tipping a guy, but the fucking tip is included. Why should it be included in room service? Like, how often does that guy get fucking stiff? I get it. We're including it in a party of over 21 when you guys are all getting fucking ripped at the Applebee's. Alone in your room in a fucking bathrobe and slippers, you're going to look that fucking guy in the eye and go, nothing for you. Thank you for walking this cheeseburger from the basement up to the 28th floor, but you, my friend, get nothing. I enjoy tipping. I want to hand that person $10, pat them on the ass, and ask them if they've been working out. But no, it is included. What is a tip if it's included? It is not a tip. You're flying in the fucking face of an actual tip. And does it work that way with every tip? Like if someone goes, hey, I got a tip for you. Go ahead and tie your shoes before you walk out. It's raining outside. You're going to get the laces wet. You don't go, thanks. Here's $9. No, it's called a fucking tip. And as a matter of fact, you should have... You should pray that your kid does not engage in any job that involves a tip. I realize all tip jobs are loser jobs. Shoe shiner, Uber driver, gay prostitute, all jobs that involve tipping. Pray your kid never receives a tip unless it's got the word stock in front of it.
Unrinsed coffee mugs.
Unrinsed coffee mugs. I was sitting around today thinking, somebody needs to invent clear coffee so I could finally die and just be a happy man. And everyone says to me all the time, what's the obsession? Why do you obsess? What's the obsession over the coffee mugs? The obsession isn't over the coffee mugs. The obsession is the fucking donkeys I hire who won't rinse their goddamn coffee mugs. It has nothing to do. And by the way, all this, the obsession all the time, like, what's the obsession? What's the obsession? There is no obsession. I would like to say it one time and one time only and have my warnings heeded or my demands respected. But oh no, we don't live in that world. We live in a world where my assistant is wearing jeans and flip-flops right now. He announced to me it was flip-flop weather. I said, well, then it's no longer jean weather. And he gave me the stink eye. And I said, feel my hands, feel my face with your hands and tell me I'm beautiful. And he said I was out of line. That's the world we're living in. Yes, Matt is wearing flip-flops and jeans today. Yeah. I took notice.
It's a bold combo.
He took notice of me taking notice and then explained it was flip-flop. We moved into flip-flop territory, and I said, fine, but we moved out of jean territory.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
It's fair, yeah. Right? I wanted everyone to wear jumpsuits with my name on the back. They were like, fuck that.
I would love to get them. Awesome.
They're pretty sweet, actually.
That'd be awesome. Like Cannonball Run style.
At this point in the tournament, Gina, you got to get creative with your rants. You know, we've gone over the baseline, you know, complaints. I like to get creative with explaining that every job that involves tips is a loser job.
Mm-hmm. I did too. There was something, you know, I loved the second rant. And of course, you know, the heart and soul was really in both of them. But the image that is burned into my mind that I don't know if I'll be letting go of anytime soon is, are you going to stiff the guy that is looking you right in the eye with the bow tie and the burger?
Yeah, who
That's
needs
a great
that?
Point.
Who? How could you ever? That is a stiff. First off, he knows where you are. Like right. He knows your room.
He knows where to find you.
Secondly, I never thought about it. I know you guys are trying to deliberate and do your job.
But the judges are talking.
My thoughts have triggered thoughts in my own head, which is, I would guess most people that do room service do it multiple times. So you in that stay, you know, and if you're a room service guy, you got a burger that night, but you're getting a pot of coffee and some eggs the next morning. Right. If you're the room service person, why would you want to stiff that person you needed to help you and bring your food? And again, he's standing with you or she's standing with you alone in your room. You have to tip at that point.
Yeah.
This is tough, Gina. There's also something beautiful and poetic about the simplicity and almost mundaneness, the banality of the mugs and the coffee that sort of encapsulate an Adam Carolla rant. Like, everyone can get pissed about tipping to some degree, or waiters. No. Everyone has had a bad experience, but the coffee at the bottom of the mug is pure Carolla.
That's true. And the chasm of something as small as the coffee at the bottom of the mug to calling everybody who happily works for you donkeys is also something that we really should celebrate. This is a tough one. And I identify more with the mug because that's the policy in this house. But they're both strong. I'm having a tough time.
Do we go to Chris and Dawson?
I think we have to.
All right. What do you guys think behind the glass?
Well, if we have to call it, I'm going to say that unrinsed coffee mugs, the development of clear coffee was
true.
Certainly your last towel to throw in on that fight. Thus, I'm giving it to waiters and tipping.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm out
I
of
see.
Material. Wait a minute. Is Matt here? Matt, you here to defend your
what
jeans and flip-flops?
Sure.
Matt really wants to adopt the, I don't want to look like I'm working attire. Now, Matt,
great.
I would argue we can see that you're not working just by observing you. You don't need to advertise. We can watch you not work. You don't need to do it with your attire.
This is very true.
All right. Gary said flip-flop and jeans are not the same weather. That there's a departure. You can go shorts and flip-flop, or you can go jeans and
shoes.
This
is what has not been discussed, and Dawson pointed this out to me the other day. Once you put the flip-flops on, you're committed. You can't go back to closed-toed shoes after that. So earlier last week, it was a little warmer. I put them on. It was shorts, a little bit cool in the building, put the jeans back on, but the flip-flops got to stay.
I don't know. You're talking to a guy who wore flip-flops this morning and then managed to tie his shoes before he came in like a human being.
How?
Well, that's why you're a millionaire.
That's true. I guess I should have worn one flip-flop and one tennis shoe just to kind of
hedge your bets.
Not to get the bends, you know. Gary, how say you? You're wearing shorts, right?
I am wearing shorts, but I have closed-toed shoes on. I think for Matt, you know, he just must have made the call to go to flip-flops too early in the year. But there needs to be a separation of church and state. When you make the move to go to flip-flops, you got to stick with them for the rest of the summertime.
And you have to stick with it. I would argue you got to move to the shorts.
Yeah, agreed.
You got to move to the shorts.
So after Labor Day.
Right. So what you guys are saying is I need to hike my jeans up a little bit and show a little thigh.
Come off.
Just when you calf. Feel my face, you stop. You do the fingers in the temple and around the ears, and then the two thumbs go along the bridge of the nose.
I've been practicing.
Okay. Good. All right. Sorry. Where were we, Dawson?
Well, today we're going to see
If Gavin Newsom can stand where Mayor Garcetti knelt yesterday. Wow. The California Conference Finals with Gavin Newsom versus Forest Lawn Flower Guys.
Gavin Newsom with your Brill cream and your Vaseline on your teeth and your rich daddy and your wife who's the first partner because God forbid we give her a fucking label that would make us normal. And here's the thing. Gavin Newsom sat around, he fucking crowed for the last 4 years, Trump is a tyrannical dictator. Dictator Trump, Trump dictator. Well, we live in California. The fucking schools are closed. You put a ban on outdoor dining. Businesses are fucking falling apart. Small businesses are going to the ground. Gyms are open to 10% capacity. What the fuck is 10% capacity? Half a human being? Who's the fucking dictator in this equation? Is it the guys playing golf at Mar-a-Lago, or is it the guy who destroyed a bustling economy and locked everyone in their fucking house? By the way, go and look up the definition of dictator. You'll find a fucking picture of your smiling face there, Gavin Newsom. And wait a minute. Oh, I'm on to my next subject. All right, fuck it. I'm done with Gavin Newsom. Sorry.
Forest Lawn Flower Guys.
Forest Lawn Flower Guys. I got nothing against the brown people. I got nothing against the little people. I got nothing against the people who are trying to get by. I have a beef with the people who governed the other people because we have a society that is torn, torn in half. Half the people play by the rules. Half the people pay the taxes. Half the people pull the permits. Half the people stay in their lane and fucking save money for their kids' college. And the other half are just selling food out of a shopping cart with a propane tank in it or flowers on the side of the fucking road, not paying taxes, not contributing. There ain't no OSHA. There's no 401k. There's nothing. How about all the fucking signs you have to post? You open a business in California, they give you a big fucking panel of signs. You have to put this up. Everyone needs a 20-minute break. Everyone's got to wash their hands. What the fuck ever happened to the COVID regulations? All they do is force a regulation up your ass, except for these people. They answer to nobody in plain sight, in the middle of the day, handing money back and fucking forth. And all I'm saying is if they get to do whatever the fuck they want to do and they're completely unregulated, then I get to drive around without a seatbelt at 150 fucking miles an hour. But instead, California, we've created two separate zones. We have the bouncy castle filled with congressmen and lawyers that we all have to fucking live in, and these fucking people get to live in the fucking free-for-all known as the Thunderdome.
Sometimes you'll see it, Gina, you know, despite two powerful, highly ranked matchup, one team jumps out to a lead and never looks back. To me, this was a bit of a blowout. The flower guy, I like how it was a referendum on our society and what brought with it. To me, it's pretty cut and dry. But what say you?
Well, I loved the idea of comparing and contrasting Newsom with Trump, saying who's the one lounging about the golf course and who's the one that's still enforcing the lockdown, which was a great point. But I have to say, I agree with you overall. This took on, I wouldn't even say three dimensions. This went into a fourth dimension. This ripped through time and space, talking about the flowers on the off-way ramp. I say we have to give it to them.
Get your bracket at AdamCarolla.com and tune in tomorrow for more of the Irate 8 as the Big Rants rolls on in March Madness Madness.
All right, Big J Okerson and Ralph Sutton are going to join us. Ralph used to be a strip club DJ, so we're going to see what
fun
his chops are like. Well, it might be a tipping job. All right, take a quick break. We'll be back with Big J and Ralph right after this.